Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. Now the Bible says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." We want to concentrate on the first part of this Proverbs. It says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Now backsliding is an Old Testament term, so it has limited application to a Christian because, for instance, we cannot be separated from the love of God, and the Bible also tells us as Christians that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so in the Old Testament, there was actually evidence with men like Saul that a person could get into a backslidden condition and actually not only lose fellowship with God, but he would actually lose his salvation. They were not eternally secure in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we are. So backsliding, though it is an Old Testament term, does have application to us as Christians if we just remember that we could not backslide to the extent that they could backslide in the Old Testament. We need to take heed, see, to the doctrine of backsliding because it will teach us some things that are very important to us as Christians. Now let me say this before we dive into the text and make application here. You just happened to flip that radio on, searching for something to listen to, and caught this preacher preaching about backsliding, and that is the condition you're in right now. You're backslidden. You've been out of church, you hadn't been reading your Bible, you haven't been praying, you haven't told anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ in over a month, and you sense in your own heart that you're out of fellowship with God. You're backslidden. And it's a very good thing that you happen to catch this broadcast today because you're going to hear some things from the Bible if you will just listen that will help you to understand why you don't want to stay in the backslidden condition that you're in for whatever reason you got into it. You might have been led into it because you tasted of sin and had pleasure in it. You might have been led into a backslidden condition because you've gotten upset and bitter over something that's led you away from church and away from the Lord and away from the Bible and away from prayer. I don't know what it is. But you're not right now in the same position that you've been in since you've been a Christian. You're in worse condition, and you know it. And perhaps you've been even thinking about getting out of it. Undoubtedly, if you caught this broadcast today, somebody's been praying for you. I know when I got terribly backslidden, somebody had been praying for me. Somebody's been praying for you. And it's not accidental that you caught this broadcast. It is providential. That is, God has led you this way. Please listen. Please listen. There's some things in here very important for you today that will help you a great deal. Realize you don't want to stay in the backslidden condition you're in today, but you want to get back to a good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, in backsliding, from the Bible, we learn these things. Number one, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And you know something? Right now, you're disgusted with some of the things that are going on in your life. You really are. As a matter of fact, you've been thinking about maybe you ought to get back to church. You don't know where to go. One of the things that's caused you to think about that is you've done a little review, an inventory of your life, and you realize that there are some things going on right now that you wish weren't going on. You're into a relationship you know you oughtn't to be into. You don't know how to get out of. You've been drinking and it's taken a toll on your body. You've been involved in immorality of some nature. I'm not being prophetic and guessing. I'm just naming some things because I don't know what you've been into. But you've been involved in some immorality and you're tired of the hook. It's in you and you want to break it. Let me tell you, the reason that you're sensing that, feeling that, experiencing those problems with the sins that led you away from the Lord in the first place is that you are beginning to reap what you've sown. The prodigal son split from his father, and life was fun for a while. He whooped it up with riotous living, but he ran out of money. And when he did, he had to go to work, and when he did, he didn't find a very good job. And he ended up slopping the hogs. And when he did, he said, you know something? My father's servants have it better off than I've got it here. And I'm his son. And that got him to thinking. And he came to himself, the Bible says. Well, reaping what you sow will cause you to come to yourself. In Galatians chapter 6, you see that the doctrine of reaping what you've sown is a law in the universe. It is just like the law of gravity. If I drop the glass that I'm holding in my hand right now, it's going to break and shatter on the ground. Why? Because the glass is subject to the law of gravity. Now, in Christianity, in life, there is another law. There are many, but there's another law. And this law is the doctrine of reaping what you've sown. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He doesn't reap the corruption of the Lord. He doesn't reap the corruption of the devil. He reaps it to the very thing that he's sown in the flesh. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So when a man gets backslidden and he's sowing to the flesh, his body will go into dissipation. He smokes, he gets lung cancer. He drinks, he gets cirrhosis of the liver. He gets heart disease. He gets some other problems that begin to take a toll on his life. Those kinds of things are sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow when you get backslidden. And there's a good thing about that. I mean, it's bad, but it's good in a sense, because once you've had your fill of sin and you get sick of it, the very fact that you are now reaping what you have sown is cause for you to turn away from it and go back to the Lord. Listen, as you listen to this broadcast today, you are listening to a preacher that has firsthand personal experience with this doctrine and with being backslidden. I'd gotten saved, got off to a good start, and got into professional life. And when I did, I allowed the glamour of society to draw my heart away from the Lord. And I'm telling you, literally, one night, late in the night, the true picture of my life was presented before my face, and I saw what I had reaped from the things that I had sown. And I was absolutely disgusted with what I saw, what I felt, what I knew to be true in my life. My testimony had gotten to a place, honestly, where I thought it was so bad I didn't think there was any way that the Lord could fix it, not in the little town that I was living in. And I took my hands off the rein that night in prayer, and I told the Lord, listen, if there's anything you can do to change this testimony, do it. If not, you might as well take my life now, because I've ruined it. And you know something? The Lord let me wake up and he changed that testimony. He fixed those things. But what happened? What happened is that I didn't wake up to it until I had reaped what I had sown. So don't think that I'm coming down on you. I'm not coming down on you. I'm trying to tell you from firsthand experience and from the Bible that the condition you have found yourself in right now is the result of what you've sown. And it's a good thing that you are feeling and experiencing the things you are as much as you're disgusted with it, because that should be enough incentive and motivation to cause you to want to turn away from it. And that's exactly what we learn from the Bible. Sowing should cause you to return to the Lord. Look in Jeremiah chapter, if you have a Bible. If you don't, you're just driving down the road listening, that's fine. Just listen. In Jeremiah, I'm going to read the Bible verses to you because I want you to know, based upon the authority of Scripture, these things are so. Jeremiah 2:19. Now, Jeremiah has a lot to say about backsliding because he's writing to Judah and to Israel, particularly to Judah, that had far, far turned away from the Lord and was getting ready to go into captivity to the Babylonians, to the Chaldeans, under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. In Jeremiah 2:19, the Bible says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." Look at that. He's saying when you start getting into things that are wicked, your wickedness corrects thee. Your backsliding reproves thee. In other words, you don't need me to tell you. You don't need the Lord to tell you. The very thing that you've sown is telling you that you've got to get back to God. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and then my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Sowing should cause you to return to the Lord. You know, in all the personal work we've done, we've met another number of people who have already reaped enough, who've already reaped enough, and they went out. But they'll say things like this, you know, the preacher at such and such a church where I was before upset me or disappointed me or whatever the case may be, and I didn't want any more to do with him. Let me tell you something. There are dozens of churches within convenient driving distance of where you live, particularly if you live in a city like Corpus Christi or Victoria or Houston or San Antonio or Brownsville or something like that. It may not be the ideal church. It may not be the specific one you're looking for, but I'll tell you something. If you're in a backslidden condition and you've got to get right with God, there'll be a place somewhere where you can go and return to the Lord. Get back into the Bible. Start listening to it preached and taught and reading it. Reaping should cause you to return to the Lord. You know what'll happen sometimes? Bad things start happening to you. You may be experiencing some of that right now. And then you'll throw your fist up in the air and say, "Why is God doing this to me?" He didn't do it. You did it to yourself. You ought to take a hard look and be sure before you ever throw your fist in the air, first, that what you're experiencing isn't the result of your own doing. And be honest with yourself. You know, God gets blamed and the devil gets blamed for a lot of stuff that we did to ourselves while we were backslidden. And those things weren't God's fault. People say, "Well, God could have stopped that." Well, there's probably some truth to that. But the fact that he didn't may not have anything to do with his involvement in what precipitated the problem in the first place. You're now reaping what you've sown to wake you up, to correct thee, to reprove thee, to turn thee into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing we see in backsliding is that you reap what you sow, but that the reaping should cause you to return to the Lord. But when we see something else, we see this, that if you return to the Lord, he will heal your backsliding. He'll fix the problem. Now, he may not be able to fix all of the consequences of the problem, but he'll fix your backsliding. Look in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." And look what they say. "Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." That ought to be your testimony right there. Your testimony ought to be, as of today, I was living in a backslidden condition, and quite by accident, by coincidence, by providence, I turned on the radio and caught this fella preaching on backsliding. And he said from the Bible that what I had already reaped should be enough to correct me. And when I got to looking at all the stuff that I'd reaped from everything that I'd sown, I agreed with God and decided that I was sick of what I was into, And so that day, August the 14th, 2006, I turned from my backsliding back to the Lord God, just like Israel did, or like Israel was told to do. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God, and accepted the promise of God that if I would turn to him as a backslidden child, he would heal my backsliding. And he did. That ought to be your testimony. You ought to have enough desire and enough courage and enough love for the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the condition you're in, to drop it once and for all and come back to the Lord. We're in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12 has something else to say. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. You know something? The Lord would be right now if he were angry with you for the condition that you're in. But he said to Israel in the bad shape they were in, if you'll come back to me now, I'll withhold my anger. I'll be merciful to you. And you know he'd say the same thing to you? He'd be so happy to have you come back to him and just do right, enjoying your Christian life, than he would to bust you for whatever you've gotten into up to this point. A good friend of mine preaching would always tell a story whenever he was talking about a fella out of line with God. He'd tell a story about the way a little child was when he got whipped by his father one time. The boy was standing up. You know, the father got his switch or his belt, whichever one it was, I can't remember. And he got ready to switch that kid. Well, you know, if the child tries to run and the father's holding his hand, then the child is extended away from the father's body in such a way that when the father comes down with the switch, he's got it fully extended. In other words, that's the maximum punishment that could be applied. But he said in this particular case, the child didn't run. What he did is he ran back to his father and grabbed onto his leg. That way, when the father tried to switch him, he had to come back near his own body. And the only way he could do that was to take a lot of the swing out of the switch. And so the punishment wasn't nearly as bad for the child when he was right there on his father's leg than it would have been if he had tried to run away from him. You see, that's the picture. So if you return, he will heal your backsliding. You know what happens? Sometimes you'll get away from the Lord, and then you fear what lies ahead on the road back to him. You are better off to have learned your lesson and to have returned than to sit it out and suffer the consequences of staying backslidden. Right now, the Lord is just waiting for you to return. So all you have to do is just come back to him and say, Lord, I am sick of this. I don't know how to proceed. I'm just trusting that if I turn back to you, you will walk me through the steps I need to go through in order to get back into good fellowship with you. Well, I'll tell you what that's going to involve. It's going to involve prayer, Bible reading, faithful attendance to good preaching and good teaching, and then following what you've been taught to do by the preacher and the teacher and the Bible. Following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what it involves. Okay, here's another thing about backsliding. First of all, you reap what you sow. Secondly, the reaping should cause you to return to the Lord. And third, if you return, he will heal your backsliding. But, if you don't return, a worse thing is coming. You see, it's not neutral. It's not static. It moves. If you're backslidden now, you're only going to get worse. If you turn now, you'll stop. You won't get worse. You'll start getting better. But if you don't return, then a worse thing is coming. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 6, we read this. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them, a leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. Well, there you go. That lion, that wolf, that leopard that slays them, those are all pictures of the devil. They're all pictures of the devil. In other words, if you don't return now, having been given the preaching and warning that you've received now, you know what's going to happen? The Lord will sick the devil on you. The Lord will sick the devil on you, and don't you think for a minute that he won't. I mean, there are people that tell you, oh, he'd never do a thing like that. You're a child of God. Yes, he will. If he thinks by getting the devil on you, he can either stop that nonsense that you're involved in or scare you so bad that you'll run back to him, he'll sick the devil on you. I mean, in a milder form, you know what will happen to you in that backslidden condition? False devils, false apostles, false preachers will come along and give you a doctrine that will convince you that what you're into is A-okay. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." I mean, I've watched people get backslidden, then they want to get right with God, and you know what? They're not coming back straight full to the Lord God, and so they end up in a church where the person behind the pulpit is lying to them to make them believe that the terrible stuff they're involved in right now is okay with God. Not kidding. I've got a friend of mine whose daughter turned off into deep sin, and she is right now going to a church where the very sin that she's involved in is tolerated from the pulpit and actually ministered to, so that as far as the preacher is concerned, the thing this girl is involved in is not a sin at all, that it is an acceptable way of life for God. You know what happened? Devil got her. And I mean to tell you, she is stuck in it now. The likelihood that she'll ever come out of that sin is about 10%, unless the prayers of all the folks have been praying for will be used by God to convince her to turn away from the false apostle that she's listening to and turn to get right with God. I'm telling you, that's a worse thing than the backslidden that she was involved in, because now she's got justification for her sin. And she's, boy, you talk about giving an account. Ugh, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be horrible. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, this little thing right here. Paul said it. He told those Corinthians, he said, now you better forgive this fella. He was in a bad way, but he said, you better forgive this fella, because he said this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, in the case of the Corinthian church, that would be for unforgiveness, for not forgiving a saint that had sinned in the church. But notice what he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And you know, the devices of the devil are, if he can draw you away from the flock and draw you out into a backslidden condition, he can keep you unproductive for the Lord Jesus Christ and out of fellowship with God until you die and give you a big fat zero at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, there was a young man in a terrible sin in the Corinthian church, and Paul said to the congregation, to deliver such an one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You see that right there? There's a preacher and a congregation that turned that sinner over to the devil so that the devil would destroy him. Don't tell me that God won't use the devil to take a bad backslidden Christian and either put him out of business completely or scare him so bad that he'll return. Now, this fellow got scared so bad he returned, and that was where the church had to forgive him in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. But it was the devil that got on him that finally turned that fellow. Listen, even a backslidden preacher in his own pride and in his own bad report can get sicked, can have the devil sicked on him. So don't think, listen, if God's going to send him to the preacher, send him to these sinners that are in the congregation, don't think he's not going to turn him loose on you. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, not a novice, lest being filled up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. There's a preacher that turned off proud. Bang! The devil strikes and brings him into condemnation. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. I've watched him, boy. I've watched some really, really good preachers, great preachers, fall into that snare right there. What? Got them. They got backslidden, got into sin, got caught, and nearly got destroyed. As far as their ministry is concerned, they are destroyed. You know what that Bible tells you to do in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8? He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's speaking to Christians, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He'll come after you. Don't get so backslidden, or you could have a run-in with the devil. Listen, by being able to hear this broadcast today, you've been given an opportunity to return to the Lord and have your backslidings healed before the devil gets on you. Man, if I were you and I had any conscience, any fear of the Lord in me whatsoever, and any belief in the words of God, I'd stop whatever I was doing right now, turn to the Lord God, run from that thing just as fast as I could, and never go back. You have a chance right now to get it right with God. Right now. And frankly, I pray to God that you do, because if you don't, you could be into this backslidden situation you're in for the rest of your time on this earth. God said to the Israelites in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I'm telling you, if you back out of it today, you'll be in it till God returns or till you die. So turn back to the Lord today. You're in the shape you're in right now because God has allowed you to reap what you've sown, to cause you to return to the Lord. And if you return to him, he'll heal your backsliding. Otherwise, things are going to get worse when the devil attacks. And if you don't turn then, you're in it till you die. Don't you want out today? Please, please, please turn from your backslidings and get right with God today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.